Happy May Day, folks. It's May 1st, 2012, and May Day is today and has been an international holiday for the celebration of workers for more than a century. It is officially celebrated in 80 countries, and those celebrations have always been a strange mix of showcasing worker aspirations and government power.
May Day in Moscow's vast red square. Moscow sees its first May Day parade in 4 years of total war. Military attachés of Russia's allies, American, British, and French, are guests of honor.
The 1945 Moscow May Day celebration was all about military pride at the end of World War II. In 2006 in Havana, it was a rally for tens of thousands in support of the Castro regime. And in 2010 in Edmonton, Alberta, it's a small gathering of older revolutionaries keeping the faith. The great irony for the United States regarding May Day is that while it commemorates a workers' uprising in Chicago in 1886, that's right, May Day is not officially celebrated here. Our Labor Day is deliberately not part of the international labor movement celebrations, which have always been politically suspicious here in the USA. Will that change this year?
We are the 99%! We are the 99%!
Sounds there from a few months ago, the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Elsewhere movement for economic justice in the U.S. They're aiming to make a resurgent impact on this day here in New York City and around the nation. Leaders of the Occupy movement are planning strikes and protests in 125 cities today. That means no work, no shopping, no banking, no school. It's all being billed as a day without the 99%. We will check in with one of the locations on a very rainy day here in New York City, up in Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan. We have a reporter up there. But also with us this morning is Janet Byrne, editor of the Occupy Handbook. Janet, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What's the strategy, do you think, and what's the reason for choosing May Day, aside from the obvious?
Well, I think one of the more interesting things that's going to happen today, there's a consortium of universities that have pooled their resources, and up in Madison Square Park, there is a form of teach-in. You know, people can go freely to this site and learn from the masters, you know, David Graeber, who came up with the slogan, "We are the 99%, Chris Hedges, and lots of other, Francis Fox Piven, and so on. That's just one of the manifestations today.
What do you think the message is today, if it could be crystal clear? Because there's a lot of different sort of voices of progressivism in the United States that came out of that movement, were very successful in grasping headlines last year. But here we're in the middle of a 2012 election campaign and competing with lots of other political messages. What is the message of the Occupy movement, do you think, on this May 1st?
Well, in a way, the message is complexity. And it's a counterpoint to the simplistic messages of, for example, the Tea Party.
And in what way? In what way?
Well, you think about the issues. And, you know, when I was putting together the Occupy Handbook, for me, the issues seemed to fall into three different categories. One was taxation. And taxation is a very complex issue. And it has, you know, there are many solutions that are offered. But, for example, in the Occupy Handbook, Peter Diamond and Emmanuel Saez offer a proposal for raising the marginal tax rate on the highest earners. It's a very hard thing to wrap your head around. You know, I didn't even really know what the marginal tax rate was when
Although, how is that different from let's tax the wealthiest Americans, the Buffett rule, the campaign slogan of President Obama, which he's taken to Congress?
It's actually very different from that. And people will tell you, tax experts will tell you that the Buffett rule, while nobody will say no to it, it's a very, very simplistic.
Well, it only raises a minuscule amount of money, applies to only about 50,000 people, and the Republicans in Congress actually have said no to it. If you raise marginal tax rates more broadly, what's the impact of that? Is it on the deficit? Is it to deliver more services to Americans via government?
It's to deliver revenue, and the amount escapes my brain right now, but it's a huge amount. And what it does is it brings – what Diamond and Saez are proposing is that we go back to something like the 1970s when the highest marginal tax rate was approximately 70%.
That's right. It was way in the 70s. It actually reached 90%
in the 50s.
That's right.
And right now it's 35.
Right. Much, much lower. We're talking with Janet Byrne, editor of the Occupy Handbook, where you can find lots of ideology, policy, theory about what the progressive movement should be. What is the extent to which today will showcase the extent to which this movement can channel into the anger of Americans who really are frustrated and dissatisfied by what's going on, whether they're in the Tea Party or on the left? How can they do that? A call for strikes in 125 cities. I suspect we won't be reporting tomorrow that there was a general strike in the United States.
Well, it can't be called a general strike because, as you know, the Taft-Hartley Act and so on of 1947 prohibits unions from striking in support of other workers.
Right.
So you're right that you won't be reporting on that. So it's just called something else. And I think the point is to get a lot of bodies out on the street again.
And one of the bodies that we have out on the street up in Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, Bridget Bergen, reporter for Takeaway, co-producer WNYC. Bridget, as far as you can, who's up there with you? This is one of the locations in 125 cities around the United States. Any sense of the mood, the spirit? What are you seeing?
Hi, John. I just ducked in a doorway right off Bryant Park on 40th Street. Protesters aren't supposed to gather here until 8 o'clock, so we're a little bit early, and that may be why there really aren't many people here yet. There are more media trucks and police trucks than there are anything else. But at this point, you know, it's a rainy day, so that might be giving people a late start, but there aren't many people here yet.
Well, it's early yet, as you say, and you're part of the media contingent, which always precedes these things because, of course, the Occupy movement was very, very successful in dominating headlines for a certain point in last year. Bridget Bergen, stay dry if you can.
I'll do my best.
Bridget Bergen, reporter for Takeaway, co-producer WNYC, and follow the festivities insofar as they can be called festivities or protests around the United States as the Occupy movement attempts to flex its muscle on this May Day 2012. We thank Janet Byrne, editor of the Occupy Handbook, here in the studio. Thanks, Janet.
Thank you very much for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.